Did you get fit yet today or what?
No, I have not. I got some training on the books coming up in a little bit.
What's it going to be?
But I haven't gotten sweaty. You know, I'm going to pull an audible. The last session I did, let me give you the last 2 days. So today is Wednesday. On Monday, I did an impromptu variation of Kelly. I happened to be looking at the CrossFit.com main site and noticed that that was up there last week, I believe. And I thought, man, I haven't done that in a long time. But it's been a pretty rainy Nashville summer. So I jumped on the C2 bike and I did a 5-rounder with 1,000 meters on the C2 bike instead of the 400 meter run. And nice. Let me tell you, that beat the legs up pretty good. It was it was a good one. So that was a good, solid, you know, sustained effort. And then yesterday, I did a lot of work with a friend of mine tearing out the loft ceiling of an old cinder block shed.
Oh,
and so a lot of manual labor with my buddy. So no workout yesterday, but a lot of grunt work. So I'm feeling a little beat up today. So I think today's going to be just a basic lifting day where I'm going to hit some deadlifts, I'm going to hit some overhead presses, and I'm going to call it a day because I'm feeling the last two.
It's, well, small world. I've got 7x1 deadlift on the docket today, and I haven't pulled a single in quite some time. And the variance for my life today will be, as we were chatting about before we clicked on the camera, I'm rolling solo with my 2-year-old girl. And so my hope is that I can bring her into the garage, bring a couple toys and items out there that she'll occupy herself. Let me actually warm up. Let me pull some deads and whatnot. But that might change rapidly. So we'll see. Fingers crossed, though, I can actually get in a session. And it'll be an entertaining story one way or another because she's a wonderful and lovely yet disruptive little human being.
Well, keeps it interesting, I'm sure.
So,
okay, shoot.
We're already off topic here. We haven't even got to the topic of the day.
Yeah. Well, how can you be off topic if we haven't gotten to it? Right? I mean, hey.
We're getting philosophical here.
Yeah, that's right.
You did manual labor yesterday.
I did.
And then you didn't do the workout. Did you not do the workout because that physical task you thought checked the box? Did you run out of time? Were you just fatigued and tired? You know, what was that? What made that decision?
It was A and B. So it took longer than we expected. Surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. So running short on time. And then, you know, it wasn't one of those I was so fatigued that I just couldn't work out, woe is me type of things. But I definitely felt that, you know, the physical activity requirement of the day was fulfilled. And coupled with the, you know, increase in time that it took to do that, felt okay. Not a big deal to skip today and pick it up on the next.
Because that's a question people have every now and then. Hey, I did a few hours of yard work. Does that, you know, hey, for lack of a better word to say it, does that count? You know, can I skip it today? I went for a hike. I did whatever it was. Went mountain biking with the family. Do I have to get in my workout that day? And it's always interesting to see, is that a normal course of action for you? Or is that just...
Well, I mean, if we were going to play it through and go through some of those examples you just cited, if it was yard work, I would probably have worked out yard work. Mm-hmm. At least much of the yard work I'm doing isn't strenuous enough that I would be like, eh, that counts. You know, a hike, a mountain bike, something like that. If that's a session that I'm out there, you know, doing a significant activity like that, then I probably would not. But it depends on the activity itself. In this case, it was swinging a sledgehammer and trying to salvage some stuff from inside this really sketchy loft and not fall through the floor at the same time. So there's a lot of weird coordinated awkward lifting. There's a lot of, like I said, swinging a sledgehammer, a lot of trying to clear debris. So it was pretty heavy duty work. It wasn't just pulling weeds or something like that.
Yeah, I would say for me, it has to be something pretty darn heavy duty and taxing to get me to skip the workout. I mean, even recently, I remember we had a serious windstorm, some trees came down on the property that we live on. And I spent a few hours with the chainsaw cutting up some decent sized trees and moving and lugging and hauling. Like, it was some legit grunt work. And I still got in and I worked out. Of course, the workout didn't go great. But I also think that might be that my own mental stuff between the ears where I feel like there's some box that I haven't checked for the day. And even if I get in a so-so workout, I feel better. Almost like a mental stress relief, even though my body doesn't need it. My mind almost did. So I think for me personally, I probably work out on those days, even though I would be fine not doing it. And it's probably not from my musculature. It's probably from my mentality.
Yeah, I would say fair enough. I will say that if I had to do yesterday over again, I would not have done a full workout, but I would have come into the garage and put 15 minutes on the timer and just spend some time getting a little bit of range of motion back. That would have been good, you know, when you're lifting, doing awkward stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you're fatigued and kind of beat up. It would have been nice to come and just do just a little bit of stretching, a little bit of positional work. So if I were to do yesterday over again, would not add a workout to it. I got my dose. But to your point, I think there's some benefit beyond, you know, trying to increase that physical capacity.
Okay, well, this brings us to we'll get to the question today. Well, before I get to the question, there's something new that I'm not even sure if you're aware of. You know, we always say at the end of these shows, check the notes, check out the Very Not Random cycles and all that good stuff. Well, now we've got, you can just go to verynotrandom.com. You don't have to go to the show notes. Yep, go to verynotrandom.com. You'll see all the body weight and barbell and fun stuff that we can hopefully add to your life. So check that out. Okay, here's today's question from the community. Let's see. This is from Audrey W., who says she's been binging the podcast and enjoying them. So cool. Appreciate that. Says, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Most of the gyms I have been to, I found that the coaches do not do the programming they set for their members. I feel like that can send a message that they are somehow above or better than us average people. Do you feel like coaches should do the programming they set for the gym? Thanks and have an amazing day.
Wow. All right. The old decree on high. You gotta love it. Now, first of all, was it Audrey or Aubrey?
Audrey. With a D.
Okay, Audrey. Yeah. First of all, I think it's kind of unique that the majority of the gyms she's been to, coaches do not do their programming. It's been my experience, specifically lately. I've been doing a lot of drop-ins this year, been actively trying to get out into my community a little bit more. And from what I've observed, at least locally, there definitely seems to be more people doing their program than not. So that's kind of interesting. I'm curious as to where she's from and where that happens to be the case.
I will say, to be point counterpoint, I don't know if it's a mixed bag or depends on who you talk to, because I actually hear a fair amount this comment from people. I mean, not so much for me to say that it's certainly a high percentage, but I wouldn't say that this is an unusual comment that I hear.
Yeah,
so I think it definitely occurs out there.
Oh, yeah. Not to say that it doesn't. So I guess the straight out the box answer, in my opinion, is that yes, if it's good enough for the gander, it should be good enough for the goose, so to speak. And I do think it sends a pretty strong message if somebody is willing to put something out there as a leader in their community, but then not engage with it personally, at least some of the time. Now, I think the counter to that that people bring up almost as a knee jerk is, well, wait a minute. Maybe they have different goals, or maybe they're training for something specifically, which I think can hold some water. Maybe the coach is actively pursuing a more specialized capacity at that point. Maybe they're training for a powerlifting meet or an Olympic lifting meet or something of that nature.
Got a half marathon coming up.
Sure. Okay. In that case, I get it. Now, what doesn't hold a lot of water for me is the argument that, like, well, they're just fitter, or, well, they're, you know, a little bit more advanced. In that case, I feel like there's less latitude for somebody to really jump out there and feel the need to do their own thing without at least occasionally dabbling with what they're putting out to their members. You know, for a variety of reasons, I think the first thing is that coaches do need to stand by their work. You know, obviously that's something that members are paying for. They're trusting you with their fitness. And you should stand by that in more than just a good enough on paper type of way. So that's a big deal. And then second, I would say also that, you know, there's more than one way to engage with something. It doesn't mean that you have to do it every single day. But I think a regular touchstone with some of the more key elements of the program gets you not only a better sense of what it looks like to your members, but it'll help to guide your decisions moving forward. I think it's very easy to put something on paper, put a series of things on paper, and expect that they're going to go one way. But without actually doing them, you're not always working from the most informed position. And so it can be shocking to people on an individual level when they come in and do a single class and they say, wow, this timing worked out completely differently than I had thought when I saw it on paper versus when I was actually in the gym. And then as a series, it's like, wow, I was either way more fatigued or I felt fresher or I thought I would have enough skill development in this one area. But when I actually did these as a series, it didn't play out quite that way. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's a lot to be gained by getting your feet wet with the thing that you're prescribing, even if it's not every single day, every single session. Mm-hmm. So that's my rant right out the gate.
You know, there's two things to this question, right? There's
sure.
Number one is, in a non-franchise model, everyone's free to do whatever the heck they want to do. You know, like, so your trainers aren't, they don't have to do that. Now, put myself in her place, would I think it's weird if they did something different? Yes, I would think mm-hmm. it's weird. Even though they have that wonderful freedom and option, I'd be like, well, why are you doing different stuff than I'm doing? That doesn't sit well with me. So my gut response is, yes, I would want to see the trainers there doing the same workouts as the coaches and as the clients. Like you said, hey, you got a powerlifting meet. You're going to try to do your first Olympic lifting meet coming up. I get that. That's cool. But that's a rarity. That's a one-off. That's not commonplace. That's not the majority of the people all the time. You know, most people should mm-hmm. be on board the home team for the big win, help build community, drives everybody forward. The situations that I've, and it'd be interesting if the coaches, like you said a second ago, were doing something different because that's what they felt that they needed, right? Like they were going to do the tough workout that was really getting them fit. That's odd as well, right? As somebody who's a fan of, you know, the strength and conditioning process and program and all that, because since everything is infinitely scalable, you know, if we look at, you know, today's workout, 7x1 deadlift, I'm going to do later. Every human being on the planet could do that, from my advanced athletes to my newbies to everyone in between. You know, it's infinitely scalable. Well, let's go the total opposite that happened a few days ago. Short and sharp, SQT, happened a few days ago. Okay. Now, maybe SQT is something that I would say it's an illusion, if you're thinking this, that your 7-year CrossFit veteran says, look, I know this 5-minute short and sharp workout, we're not even going below parallel. We're not talking about Fran here. Let's not get crazy. You know, this is gonna smoke the 5 p.m. class, but I've been doing this stuff for a while. I got to get a second session after this. I got to do something different. You know, I got to do it at 405 pounds on the snatcher, whatever it is. Like, I need the real stuff. Where I think you could potentially fall into that trap is, like you said, if it's the one-off sort of a deal. No, but when you see how that workout ideally fits into the grand scheme of things, then you realize, like, oh, actually, when I take a step back and look at the week, at the next 2 weeks coming up, going short and sharp today was good because of what's coming up tomorrow, what's coming up the next day. You know, that I did that very short and sharp SQT workout on Monday. And then yesterday, as we record this, it's Wednesday. Yesterday, I had a 30-minute AMRAP. You know, there's something wildly different than a short and sharp SQT sort of a deal. So we're getting in this variance of the time domain so that over the course of the week, you got in plenty of training volume. You got in high intensity days and lower intensity days and moderate intensity days. But if you looked at anything as a one-off, you might be like, well, I'm just going to work out 5 minutes today. And it's like, yes, you are just going to work out 5 minutes today. Take a step back, look at everything that we have going on, and then you go, oh, that piece actually does fit. So I would encourage people to do that. The other thing, which I think might be interesting, I want to put you in somebody's shoes and see how you would react in this situation, to see if I can maybe somehow turn you to saying you would be the person that doesn't do the gym's programming.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's say this happens, okay?
Okay.
You're a trainer, and you know, you have feel like I know you pretty well. I've done a lot of these episodes. I think I know where you stand on things, what works and what doesn't work. You're a trainer at a gym. That's your full-time occupation. You still think and believe how you think and believe right now. Things have been going great for years. You couldn't be happier in this community. You're like a, round peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
New owners come in, purchase the gym. And they're like, great news. We're going to throw out the old programming because that old one workout a day, that's stupid. That we know the way to get everything to clients where we need. We're going heavy every single day. We're going to shove in this, short, sharp Metcon here. We got part A, B, C, and D. And hey, you're not the owner of the gym. You're just a trainer. So start running these classes. And you might be like, well, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. Now you've put me in this weird position where I don't want to do the programming that I'm running at the 5 p.m. class. Like, I've heard from trainers who have had that happen to them. Mm-hmm. And then the clients go, hey, is this what you're doing? And they go, oh, I don't know if I should lie or tell the truth. What would you do in that situation?
My goodness, this is quite the conundrum, Pat. And you queued that up really nicely. And I do think that's a difficult situation sometimes. Insofar as like, well, if you're just going to sit there and say, well, my marching orders are X and that's all I'm going to do. Yeah, that's a tough situation to be in if you can't believe in what you're putting forward to the people you're now in charge of coaching or still in charge of coaching.
And it happens.
Absolutely. I do think that it is incumbent on you to bring that to the attention of the new management and have that conversation, as difficult as it might be. Because really, if you think about it, the new owners, they purchased this thing because they saw the value in it. It was either a big enough gym to attract their interest, or it was well-run enough, or it had coaching staff that people gravitated towards, or whatever the reason, there was something of value that they saw that they wanted to acquire, and they did. You have to believe within that whatever there was there that's useful to preserve has to be part of that value. And whether they can identify that at the outset or not, that's part of your job as being the old guard, so to speak, is to bring to their attention some of the things that went really well that members seem to like, so that they don't trample on that unnecessarily. Maybe in the end, the decision is still there to radically change the approach and, hey, this is what we're doing and thanks for bringing that to our attention, but we're not yielding. That could be the outcome. But it's also likely that the outcome of that conversation can be like, wow, we had no idea. And if it's presented in the way that's basically laying it out, our members are happy, they have great rapport with the coaches, they're continuing to see excellent results, why would we make a radical departure from this just due to your taste? And if you can make that argument in a palatable way, I think that there's plenty of times that somebody comes in as a new owner, doesn't recognize that, but were they to, they would be receptive to taking a step back and saying, oh, wait a minute, you're right. I don't want to trample on this thing that I found valuable enough to put the money together, put the time into it to actually be in charge of. Mm-hmm. And now I may have a hand in dismantling that unknowingly. So hard to navigate that situation, but I do think it's worth the effort because one of two things is going to happen. They're going to not yield. And in which case you have to ask yourself, okay, can I really see myself sticking around here?
Right.
And
right.
Is it worth it? That's a personal question that needs to be answered. Or number two, they're going to be willing to work with you and say, oh, I didn't recognize that. Let's see if we can find some middle ground. And yeah, things are probably going to still change, but maybe not to the degree that it's so drastic and maybe not to the degree that you feel you have to pursue your own program while you're giving somebody else a different dose. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of those, hey, real life comes at you sometimes conversations and you got to get in the mix and you got to say your piece.
And so let's run this out. So let's say, and I'll give you my two cents either, because I'm actually going through this in real time. I didn't really have an answer prepared, to be quite honest with you. You have this wonderful, articulate, intelligent conversation with the owners and they say, we appreciate you, we respect you, but, hey, more is better. Don't you know that? More is better, you silly, silly trainer. So we're going to start doing more is better. Appreciate your input. We'll see you here tomorrow to coach the 5 p.m. class. And you do, hoping that no one will ask you if this is what you're going to do. And then if somebody does, and maybe you've tried this style of program before in the past and you know that it just doesn't treat you well. You know it's going to, for you personally. So you're like, oh, I know I'm not going to do it, but I'm putting the 5 p.m. class through it. And then somebody unfortunately does ask you, what's the answer?
Well, I'm going to back up. And in that conversation, Jonas says, hey, you know, thanks for your input, but we're hardline on this new program and that's what we're running. We're going to go with it. The follow-up question on my part is, okay, cool. Am I expected to follow suit in my own personal fitness? And if I don't, what is something that you would like me to say to the members if they ask what I'm pursuing for my own fitness goals?
Put it back.
Do you have any recommendations there? Absolutely. Or at least get the input, because maybe they have an opinion there and maybe they don't. And if they don't, great. Then the follow-up is, cool, I'm going to pursue my own program. And when people ask me about it, I'm going to be honest about it. And, you know, end of story. Let me know if you have an issue with that. And at least you've got a clear set of expectations then, and there's no murkiness. I think where you're going to run into problems is when that's left undefined, and then somebody finds out about it, and they're like, well, wait a minute, how come you're not doing this program? If you can come back to, well, we discussed this, and I was pretty forthcoming, and you know, I feel strongly that I like the program I was running, so I'm going to, and I'm not going to try to hide that from anybody. Everybody agrees, and you walk away, well, then great. You can take it as it comes.
How, I mean, yes, I'm going to land on the same place there. As always, just open, honest, transparent, forthright conversations alleviate. They may be stressful in the moment because sometimes there's just tension of competing ideas, but they will alleviate stress in the long run of you not having to live a lie or act like you, you know, that will be off your table. So yes, have that conversation. And then, you know, I guess my short answer would be that you don't ever want to be lying to the clients. There's the shortest answer, because usually that bubbles to the surface at some point in time. And so regardless of what management said, I guess if I was in that particular position and they said maybe, hey, look, you've got to come on board the home team for the big win, or you can't be a part of this, then, and if I knew it didn't treat my body well, like I just knew that it would lead down a bad road, I guess I'd have to start looking for a different place to train at. And, you know, ideally continue training there until I found something, but I would, you know, I would be honest with the members as to why. Like, look, I've been down this road before and it's not for me, you know, and so I'm not going to to do something that I know from a factual point doesn't lead to a good place for me. And so my time here has come. I hope you guys have a great, you know, blast. And this is why I'm going somewhere else. But what I wouldn't want under any circumstances is to not be doing that programming, to have somebody in the 5 p.m. class say, hey, are you going to, do you do this every day? And to go, yes, I do. And that's a total bold-faced lie. I would rather have the repercussions be like, no, I don't. You know, trying to work things out with the owners. We're trying to be amicable and we're exchanging ideas. But if you're asking me, no, I don't. You know, and that could be a conversation for a longer time. But tell the truth. The truth will set you free.
I'll phrase it another way and say that, you know, that sort of need to be deceptive, it's never going to end in a good place given a long enough timeline. I mean, in many, many domains of your life, right? I mean, I think you can see that start to bear out where, oh, it's just the thing to kind of keep the peace or whatever, but eventually it's going to fester into something beyond that, and it's going to have a much harder resolution than if you deal with it at the outset. So that I think is really, really critical, is trying to get that out the gate. One other thing that I would say, going back to this conversation with the owners, is, okay, let's go back. They're hardline. They're expecting you to do it as well. You're not really in line with this, but you've got to kind of make do and figure out what is the next step for you. I think in that conversation, I would also have the question of, okay, cool. After moving forward from this, we're all going to get on the same program. We're going to give it a shot. What are the parameters that we're going to judge whether it's successful or not, and under what time frame? So when are we going to come back and evaluate, is this the best thing for our members? Do they engage with it in a positive way? Are, you know, are they seeing the results that they want? Are they stoked to be there? Are they not getting too beat up? When are we going to answer these questions again after a period of evaluation? And if that's something that clearly hasn't been thought out, okay, well, great. Maybe that's something you, the trainer, can take on and say, look, this is, in my experience, something that's really critical. Every 6 months or whatever it is, we need to really take a critical assessment and see if this was the right call. I'm willing to give it a shot if you guys are willing to take the honest assessment. And at the end of that time frame that we've agreed on, answer if we like it or if we need to modify. If that's something and we're willing to do this in the spirit of collaboration, hey, maybe I'm willing to get on board. But if those types of things are met with a lot of resistance, that might be another indicator that you got to make a decision at that point.
No, I like that a lot. So in summary, my short answer is, yeah, I think everybody should be doing the programming. And then if something goes askew or there's a change or whatnot that somebody disagrees with, don't delay, have good, honest, open, positive, transparent discussions, try to reach some common ground, and don't lie. And if you follow those things, you'll at least will have alleviated as much stress as humanly possible.
Yep, couldn't agree more. And I would also say for all you trainers out there, if you find yourself in the situation where you're drifting from the program that the general population of the gym is doing and you don't feel particularly engaged to do it, start asking why. Don't just treat it as like this problem that doesn't have any sort of solution or tie into reality. Start taking a look under the hood and asking yourself, why am I less engaged with this? Why am I inclined to want to do something else? Because chances are, if you are, there's plenty of other people that may be in that same dissatisfied position. And maybe there's ways there that you can take what you've learned from that, make it better for the group, and then by extension, make it more compelling for you and other trainers to engage with as well. So lots of room there to kind of pick it apart and make it better.
Well, thanks, Audrey. Fantastic question. You know, really cool question. And hopefully everyone finds this discussion useful. I have a feeling this will be a fun topic that people have some opinions on. So find this episode on the BTWB YouTube channel and post your thoughts, comments, opinions, whatever it happens to be. How would you handle the situation? Have you been in this situation? And maybe I'd be curious, take an informal poll. How common do you think it is? Do you think that most trainers do follow the programming, or there's a fair amount that are doing something different? I'd be curious to hear that as well. So keep the questions coming. Truly appreciate it. Go to variednotrandom.com. Check out the VNR cycles. And for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.